My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Are you recording?
I am recording.
Okay, back to one. Talk about Futch again.
Thank you for asking. Well, I learned about Futch the other day, and I was so excited to learn about it.
What is that?
Well, Futch, I knew about femmes, I knew about butches, but Futch is somewhere in the middle, sometimes more, but more on the feminine side. Just learning about, like, you know, queer tribes and all that such. I also have a question.
Yes.
We have bear, we have otter, we have wolf, we have giraffe. Twink is not an animal.
Yeah, you don't watch like National Geographic, obviously. Twink is an animal.
What is it?
It's a hairless, slim, young gay man.
Of course. God, I gotta watch more National Geographic.
You never saw Twinks in the Wild? It's my favorite show. It's Richard Attenborough, and he's like outside of nightclubs, just filming through the windows. It's a great show. Educational.
Recovering Gleek presents...
A queer Buffy podcast. I'm Lena.
I'm Ian.
And welcome to
Slay! Wow, that felt exciting and also so weird.
It'll get cooler. When we get more comfortable.
It's so stupid because literally, first of all, TV shows don't have feelings and they don't exist.
Yeah.
And also, we talked about Glee for so long, fully a full year after we finished recapping the episodes. But I feel like I'm cheating on a significant other by being like, We introduced Slay and we didn't say that we're Gleeks.
I know. How is Recovering Glee going to feel about this?
We can't let them know. We can't let them know. You guys, if you see them in the street, do not tell them.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome
to the first episode of our podcast new costume of us in
Recovering
a new
Gleek presents Slay, a queer Buffy podcast.
I'm pumped. I love Buffy. You love Buffy. We bonded over our love of Buffy the Vampire Slayer years before we bonded over our love of Glee. We kept our love of Glee. That shit was locked down. We didn't tell a soul.
Well, of course. Well, back in the day, like in the dark ages that were the years between 2015 and 2020, you couldn't tell anyone you were a geek.
But like to have watched Buffy was, you were cultured and you knew your shit, you know?
Of course.
I feel like, I'm trying to remember how it even came up. I feel like it was at D&D one night. There was a specific night that we were playing D&D together, our like first few years of college, where we found out on the same night that we knew the Just Dance choreo to Oh No by Marina and the Diamonds. And then we also found out that we both loved Buffy.
Yes.
And I remember we were like so thrilled and so being like, oh my gosh, we're bonded, we're forever friends, that I'm sure everyone else in the campaign hated our guts.
No, and I hope they still do.
But we really made the whole night about us because we were like, we just found out two things we have in common.
Someone also emailed in to Recovering Gleek and they said that we were throwing out the idea of a Buffy podcast on episode 7. It's called the Buffy Long Con.
And you're living
you're
it.
Here.
And we pulled you're it off. It. They said we couldn't and we pulled
we
it
did.
Off.
Oh my gosh. I'm really genuinely excited and I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah. Should we talk about our history with the show?
Yeah.
I will go first. I was going to say, simply because I know yours is deeper and more profound. And so I feel like yours is the main course. Mine is just a little appetizer.
An aperitif.
I, as you know, Buffy for both of us was before our time. I was 2 years old when the show premiered. But I feel like growing up in the early 2000s, I feel like it's not possible to have not heard of Buffy.
Yeah.
I heard it echoing through pop culture. What really got me interested, which is funny because we were just talking about this TV show, what really got me interested in Buffy was How I Met Your Mother. which was huge, huge when we were in high school.
Yeah.
And something about me is when I love a show, I love a show. I get so into it. I used to be on the forums talking to people. I used to be on the wikis reading facts. So I went through like a big How I Met Your Mother phase in high school, and I was just researching the show and all the actors and where they came from. And I read that the two showrunners of How I Met Your Mother, it was based on their time in their 20s living in New York. And mm-hmm. the character of Lily was based on one of their wives. And their mm-hmm. wife said to them, I might be misremembering this. I read this interview like 15 years ago at least. But to my memory, the wife said to them, I only give you permission to have a character based on me if you get someone from Buffy the Vampire Slayer to play her.
Okay, and I love that.
And that's how they like reached out mm-hmm. to Allison Hannigan. And so that got me more interested in Buffy and the Allison Hannigan of it all.
Yeah, Lily is so different than
I know
Willow that sometimes I like forget they're both Allison Hannigan.
And then she also has Miss Girl from American Pie, a movie I've never seen. Although I feel like she is more Willow Rosenberg based on the one famous band camp scene and the way she delivers that line.
Oh, right. I've never seen that show.
I haven't. It's a movie franchise.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh, you see, you say show like movies.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm using them interchangeably. I apologize. You said, okay, get it right. It's a franchise.
We're not here to spread misinformation to everyone.
I apologize.
I've never seen it, and frankly, I don't care to.
I do not care to.
I like sex comedies, specifically like bro-y heterosexual sex comedies. I love you, Jennifer Coolidge.
If
I love
you,
Eugene Levy.
If I'm going to have a sex comedy, I want it to be all women being...
I want it to be bottoms.
Oh, exactly.
I want it to be bottoms.
Exactly. I hate a bro-y sex comedy.
But I don't know, like, what was the impetus for me to start watching Buffy. I do think I had a friend. I do know that I had a friend in high school who his family really liked Buffy. So maybe, like, that's mm-hmm. what pushed me over the ledge. But my senior year of high school, I finally started watching Buffy. I marathoned mm-hmm. it. I finished it my freshman year of college. And I was out in these streets preaching the good word. I was, like, telling all my friends, you've got to watch this. I successfully converted 3 people. I think that was the end of it. But a few of my friends started and then didn't finish. But like 2 of my friends started watching with me. And then when we all went our different ways after graduation, that's how we kept in touch, is we had a group chat where we would be watching mm-hmm. together and be like talking about the episodes that we were on and what was happening. And then I got my brother to watch it and he watched the whole thing.
Nice.
That's kind of the long and short of it of my
tour
with Buffy, is I watched it senior year of high school, freshman year of college, and I really loved it. And I think it's a great TV show, and
yeah,
it's not very exciting, but that's it. Baby.
I think that's very exciting. You converted 3 people. I think that's great.
I did.
It's more than I've done.
Hey,
it's more than I've done.
Hey,
my history with Buffy is, when I was a kid, I was very into the reruns of all those like goth 90s shows. I really loved Charmed. I really loved Sabrina. The one that really stuck for me was Buffy. So I don't think I've watched the whole thing up and like in sequential order up until probably college, because I was just watching marathons.
So
I had seen every episode, but I was like jumping in and out and I knew what was going on. And then I remember too that I had, like, in like the Walmart bins, I got like season 5 and season 6 and season 7. And I was so excited, like on DVD. That's what I'm saying. And I was just so excited. But I've always just like really, anytime it was on, I was very excited. I like filled up my parents' TiVo with episodes of Buffy. I remember I was caught watching an episode where people were having sex and my mom was like, oh my God, what are you doing? And I was so embarrassed. I was like, Mom, go away. But yeah, so that's that. And then in college, I would say, is really where I became like the Scooby that I am today. I like was going through some things in college and then I just really, I remember I ended up watching Buffy probably, and I swear to God, like twice a year, like through most of my college career. I just loved it sincerely so, so, so much. There were in moments where I like needed strength, I would go to Buffy and I would go to Buffy the Vampire Slayer and I would like think to myself like genuinely like what in this moment would a Slayer do? And she gives me strength. I sincerely love it so much. My very first tattoo I ever got in my whole life was the Scythe from season 7. Don't Google it if you don't want spoilers. But for the ones who know, they'll know. But so yeah, I just feel like Buffy for me is a huge part of who I am as a person and also who I am as a queer person. Yeah. It was like integral in my like self-realization and in my realization of being queer. And I love her for that. And I'm pumped as shit to be talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer with you.
Hey!
Same, babe.
Hey!
I just realized, I think what got me to start watching Buffy, I'm not kidding, is Avengers 2012.
Okay.
I was like so obsessed with that movie. I loved that movie. So I was like, I gotta check out the guy who wrote this movie.
Oh,
I gotta check out his back catalog, and I think that's what was the tipping point, because it's around that time that I watched it.
Yeah, my parents were also kind of into those shows. Like, my dad really liked Firefly and like Doll's House. Did you ever hear about Doll's House?
Yeah, with freaking Eliza Dushku. Of course, I heard about Doll's House.
Eliza Dushku, of course. I was trying to explain that I was gonna say that movie, and listen, yeah, I'm really
they're two separate
it's
things.
A TV it's a show. This time it's a show. I was trying to explain that show to someone the other day, and I was like, you haven't heard of this shit? What are you talking about? I was watching this way too young.
You haven't heard of this show that lasted like 10 episodes
in almost those 10 episodes, 2 decades ago?
Hey.
I remember it was good. I haven't seen it since, but I remember my parents were obsessed. That guy.
Oh, Miss Ma'am, I don't know why I keep referring to women as this today. This is like the third time I refer to women.
And you also keep saying Miss Girl.
I say Miss Girl, Miss Ma'am, or Miss Diva. It's like how I refer to them.
The
women,
three genders.
Women that I don't remember the name of. But Miss Ma'am, who plays Miss Casey in Severance, is in Dollhouse, which I did not realize.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and that's where I recognized her. I haven't seen Severance, but I know who you're talking about.
Have you not even seen season one?
No.
Lena. I know, and I know, and I know the economy.
You know what I'm going to say.
I know,
you
know the economy. I know the tariffs, but
you
like,
know what I'm going to say.
You got to find a friend. Like, it's so good.
The thing is, I do have a friend who was willing, but he's like, I don't want to share my Apple ID because that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Just go to his house.
In Lake Tahoe, California?
Yeah.
Okay. I am on my way. Welcome to Slay.
Welcome to Slay. We're doing an episode-by-episode rewatch. We've both seen the show before, but...
We have.
We have many first-time viewers. We have a lot of our Glee crew that is coming over, and we are educating them on the queer media of yore. And so we are doing a spoiler-free review. We will be talking about things in the episode... And not spoiling anything that we have yet to see.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we're talking about episode 1, season 1. Welcome to the Hellmouth. I have got some behind the scenes information. I'm going to pitch this to you.
Okay.
I was
rolling these around in my head all morning and I couldn't find anything good.
So I thought that the one that stuck with me is Slacks, Slayer Facts. Because it sounds like pants. And I do think it's kind of our vibe that like...
I think that's fine.
That we are...
I think fine is good.
Well, I also think like our brand is low effort, you know? As in like...
Oh my God.
No, but I'm saying like... Our
don't say that. Take that back. No,
but like our Instagram posts are like very badly photoshopped. And then...
I thought it was cutie.
I'm telling you, the reason I committed to low effort is because I wanted it to be, I didn't want expectations that I was going to be like turning it out every week. I was like, I need to be able to get this graphic done in 2 minutes tops.
On Snapchat.
Exactly. On Snapchat. You know me. I'm not even opening Procreate. I'm doing it on Snapchat.
Which is interesting because you are a whiz with a Procreate.
But I'm a whiz if I have time. And that's the thing.
I understand.
As much as we love podcasting, it is a passion project, and your girl's got to work, and your girl's got to do other things.
You're preaching to the choir. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
So to follow our low effort, most
it's
obvious
choice.
It's just
so crazy to say that on the pilot of this new thing. We've got new listeners. Maybe.
We're going to be phoning it in this whole time. I'm thinking Slacks, Slayer Facts.
I think Slacks is good. Great. I was trying to do like Buffy the Vampire, Buffy the Vact.
Vact sounds too much like Vag to me.
And what's wrong with that?
This is a children's podcast, is what's wrong with that.
You're right.
Okay. Well, here's some background information. It's a long one today. Buckle up because it's the first episode. So we're talking about everything in the episode. We're also talking about like the show as a whole. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the Slacks.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer was the brainchild of one Joss Whedon. Now, we are no strangers to talking about media that is entwined with controversial people. We just talked about Glee. I believe we are going to take a similar approach, which was we are talking about what's on the screen and what happens off screen, I feel like is not our place. How do you feel about this? Mm. Joss Whedon is a controversial figure. Look it up if you're interested. Charisma Carpenter particularly has like, she's like the one to go to who is like spoken out about stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I just feel like it's not, we were not there. I don't want to like be on record saying anything.
I would be on record saying I believe Charisma Carpenter.
No, I believe Charisma Carpenter. That's what I'm worried about is I feel like it sounds like I'm siding with Joss and I don't need to.
That's how it's sounding.
I believe.
I think backtrack.
I believe. And that's why you're a true friend. I believe Charisma Carpenter.
Uh-huh.
You can read her words about the situation on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We do not support or condone Joss Whedon as an individual. We do love Buffy the Vampire Slayer as this piece of media. So we're going to talk about
that. Which was created by a plethora of other voices as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was originally from the mind of Joss Whedon.
Hey, everyone. This is Editing Ian. Just listening back to the episode, I feel weird about how I essentially glossed over the Joss Whedon of it all. So I wanted to put a blurb in here and rectify that. While I stand by that I want this podcast to be a fun time and us be talking about what we love about this TV show, also, like, we do have to address the elephant in the room, and I feel like I did not allow us to address said elephant enough. So I want to talk about it more here. Once again, if you want the specifics, I would go to the primary sources. I don't want to just parrot them and potentially like get something wrong, leave something out. So go to Charisma Carpenter's statement. Go to Ray Fisher's statement about Justice League. There are plenty of people who have spoken out about Joss Whedon. The long and short of it is, in the years since Buffy the Vampire Slayer has gone off the air, the majority of the main cast members and multiple members of the production team and crew have spoken out against Joss Whedon and how he created a toxic work environment, how he was a bully on set, how he was verbally abusive, how he would abuse his power. The list goes on and on and on. And this is not unique to Buffy. People who have worked with him on other productions, like Ray Fisher, have made the same claims. However, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a TV show that was made by a massive team of people, and while it was initially Joss's idea, we want to honor the work of all of those people, and many of those same people who spoke out about Joss still speak highly of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and speak of how they're proud to have been a part of it, and that is what we want to focus on in this podcast. I do think I made a mistake by accidentally downplaying the Joss Whedon of it all. In the words of Sarah Michelle Gellar, while I am proud to have my name associated with Buffy Summers, I don't want to be forever associated with the name Joss Whedon. However, in talking about the show, it is inevitable that his name is going to come up, and we think it's important that all of this context is there from the jump. That being said, back to your regular scheduled programming.
The idea started as Rhonda the Immortal Waitress. Joss just liked the idea of a woman who seems like the most insignificant person imaginable, who, in his words, turns out to be extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Rhonda the Immortal Waitress then transformed into, you know, that in every horror movie, the little blonde girl who goes down a dark alley and gets killed. what if we subvert that formula and that little blonde girl is actually the badass who saves the day? Mm-hmm. The name Buffy was chosen because, in his words, it was the name he could think of that he took the least seriously. He thought it was compelling to have this character who, like, is, you know, the blonde girly girl that you would expect to get killed, who also has the most flippant and silly sounding name, be like the chosen one, the most important person. And the network begged him to change it. They're like, it sounds stupid.
I love that. Yeah.
And he kept fighting for it and saying, this is the hard, like, this is what the show is. It feels like a B movie to me.
Yeah.
But it feels like a B movie that has a little bit more going on. And if people aren't into B movies, they aren't going to be into this show. And he has said that people since have been like, oh, I think the title is why a lot of people didn't take it seriously. And in his own words, he says, well, fuck them.
Yeah.
In his own words, the very first mission statement of Buffy the Vampire Slayer was the joy of female power. Having it, using it, sharing it. Now, Buffy originally was a movie. It was a movie Oh my gosh, girl.
Kristen Swanson?
I think it's...
Christine Swanson?
I think it's Christy.
Christy Swanson.
Yeah, I think it's Christy Swanson. I was literally about to say Kirstie Alley, and I went, no, that can't be right.
Nobody has fun anymore.
That's not even Kirstie Alley, baby.
Wait, who is that? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, hold up. What is that actor's name?
That's not from my time.
If fair to you, she looks like Kirstie Alley. She's from Third Rock from the Sun.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's the show that, oh my gosh. You're making me name all these celebrities off the top of my head. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was on that show as a kid. Whatever happened to
him? Yeah, me begging you to name celebrities.
you just said, name them.
I don't care. Actually, I don't care. I don't care who this woman is.
List them. Kristen Johnston.
Yeah.
Kirstie Alley and Kristen Johnston do look like each other. But we're talking about Christy Swanson. Too many Kerkren names in Hollywood.
Oh my.
I'm drawing a line. No more.
If you have a Kerkren name, I need you to change it before you join the union. I'm actually begging.
If you're getting a SAG card, moratorium on Kerkren names. They're over. Pick something else. Too many of y'all.
I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to Chris's.
Yes. Yes. Carrie's. You're still good, but it's close.
It's close.
So, starring Christy Swanson and Donald Sutherland. Hello. Want to hear something crazy?
I'm begging to.
So, the actor who plays Joyce, her union name is Christine Sutherland. Sutherland is not her government name. She chose that last name because she's such a fan of Donald Sutherland. And then she got hired to be in the reboot of the movie he was in. Anyways. So
that's awesome.
The movie of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We're back on track. Everyone, that was just a fun vacation. Came out in 1992. Joss wrote the script. But the movie that exists is very different from his original vision.
Yes.
A lot of the darker elements were taken away. A lot of his more absurdist humor was taken away. Mm-hmm. And in his own words, what got made was a very broad comedy. And he was incredibly frustrated. Yes. He felt like it wasn't his vision at all. Some years later, enter Gail Verman, who was the CEO of Sand Dollar TV at the time, which was the production company that owned the TV rights to Buffy. And Gail said to Joss, what if we made Buffy a TV show? Joss got very excited about the concept. He got excited of the idea of portraying high school as a horror movie and having supernatural elements and monsters of the week be metaphors for growing pains and different things that happen to people during adolescence and young adulthood. Originally, the title of the TV version was just going to be Slayer. I think that's probably what the network was pushing for.
Sure.
But it got changed to Buffy. Hey, the rest is history.
A good choice.
And the TV show serves as a sequel to the original script of the movie. Mm-hmm. So if you watch the movie, which I have seen, have you seen the movie?
Oh, yeah.
And hell yeah.
Oh, I was obsessed with the movie.
Oh, wait, that's
I forgot
right.
to mention
We've talked
that.
About this.
Because,
talked
yes, because I got it at the thrift store. I forgot to mention it. But they feel so separate in my head, but I was obsessed with the movie.
Yeah. So there are a few similarities between Buffy's origin story in the TV show and what happens in the movie. There's a lot of differences. Like in the movie,
she burns down the gym.
She does not burn down the gym in the movie.
Oh, well, I misremembered. Fuck me, but I guess.
In kidding. The original script, she did. That was one of the things that got taken out by production. In the movie, she's also a senior. In the TV show, she's a sophomore. But yeah, the original script, which ends with Merrick, her watcher, dying, which Donald Sutherland does not die, I don't think. I haven't seen the movie in years. But the original script ends with Merrick dying and the gym gets burned down. And that is canonically what happened at Buffy's last school in the TV show. And hell yeah. Okay.
And hell yeah.
So now here we are.
Good to know. Good to know. Good to know. Because I literally this morning Googled, I was like, who was Buffy's watcher before? And now I'm remembering
Merrick.
From the movie. Yeah. From the movie. But he didn't die in the movie.
Yeah. He might have. I don't remember.
I can't remember.
In the movie, it is like a weird thing where Donald Sutherland always gets reincarnated as a new watcher and has been like doing this for centuries.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Which
yeah,
canonically
yeah.
is not what watchers
not a
do
thing
in the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyways, so onto the TV show.
Or like politically appointed or something.
Yeah. We'll get into it as more information revealed to us.
Not to spoil how watchers work.
So TV show shout out. Let's talk about some casting decisions. Some people who were in the running but didn't make it. Selma Blair. Ever heard of her from TV's Legally Blonde and TV's that incest movie? What's that one called? With Reese Witherspoon?
Cruel Intentions. And Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, that's right. She's in that movie too. Wait, Selma Blair is not in that movie, is she?
Yes, she is. She makes out with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Hell yeah, lesbian kiss. Selma Blair.
Have you never seen this movie?
Don't out me like this. We're trying to act like I have.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Selma Blair.
Selma Blair's not in this movie.
Selma Blair auditioned. Katie Holmes of Dawson's Creek of Batman Begins also auditioned. Natasha Lyonne. It said was considered, but said no, which I think likely is like she got. Not that she was offered the role, but like she got
like offered an audition.
Yeah. Or like was in callbacks or something. But she said no because she was 16 and she didn't want to commit to a TV show. And then a bunch of other actors auditioned for Buffy that went on to play different characters in Buffy. First and foremost, Cordelia Chase herself, Charisma Carpenter, which is especially interesting because Sarah Michelle Gellar originally auditioned for Cordelia. Need a little swappy swap.
I love when that happens.
Mercedes McNabb, who plays Harmony, who you will see, spoiler alert, next episode. She auditioned for Buffy as well. Julie Benz, who plays Darla, first person to have a line in the entire show. She auditioned for Buffy. Elizabeth Ann Allen, who plays Amy, who we'll meet in like 4 episodes. I don't know. She pops up this season. She auditioned for Buffy. And then Julia Lee, who plays Chanterelle, who I'm going to be so honest. Who is that?
I can't remember.
But she auditioned for Buffy as well. Shout out Julia Lee. Wait, no. I think Chanterelle is Anne. I think Chanterelle is Anne Steele. It's like her real name or something.
Oh, okay. Yes. So.
Okay. So she'll show up.
Let me show you a picture of her.
Yeah. She'll show up down the line. All right. Obviously. The role went to Sarah Michelle Gellar. Sarah Michelle Gellar, previous to this, so she was a daytime TV star. She was in a like young adult soap opera called Swan's Crossing that I think only lasted one season. And she was also on All My Children. And she had already, by the time Buffy began, won a Daytime Emmy Award for Outstanding Younger Leading Actress in a Drama Series.
Sarah Michelle, you're everything.
Oh, yeah. David Boreanaz, who plays at this time the unnamed Angel, but I feel like saying his name is Angel is not a spoiler.
Nah.
This is actually my favorite casting story. He was casted, they needed someone dark and mysterious who, you know, was creepy but enticing. And Marsha Schulman, who was the casting director for Buffy, got a phone call from her friend, and her friend was like, I found the guy you're looking for. He walks his dog on my street. They literally saw David Boreanaz walking his dog and was like, that's Angel. Some people who auditioned for Xander, I guess one person who auditioned for Xander, Danny Strong, who went on to play Jonathan in Buffy, shout out.
Ah, very cool.
He auditioned for Xander. Ryan Reynolds was offered a role in Buffy and turned it down.
Probably Jesse.
I was going to say, it's either Jesse or Xander. There's not really anyone else. Yeah. So one of those.
It's not really a boy show.
Shout out. Allison Hannigan was the last person to be cast. because it was played by Riff Reagan in the original pilot. Uh-huh. So there is a 25-minute pilot of Buffy that you can find on YouTube that I actually watched this morning. Mm. It is essentially a very condensed version of Welcome to the Hellmouth without the master stuff. Like, it's okay. it's just Darla and Luke, no master.
Yeah.
And it's 25 minutes long. And all the cast is the same. Also, Harmony is in it. Mercedes McNabb is fully in the pilot, as is Danny Strong as Jonathan. Shout out. So they were in it from the jump.
Cool.
And then Riff Reagan is playing Willow. Riff Reagan ultimately was not the vibe they were looking for. So after the pilot was filmed, they held auditions again, and Allison Hannigan got the role. A big reason that Allison Hannigan was picked is because she brought an optimism to Willow that they were very endeared by.
I love that.
Hannigan specifically says that there was a line in her audition scene where she mentions that when she was a kid, she got her Barbie doll stolen, and Buffy asks, "Did you ever give it back?" And Willow responds, "Most of it." And Hannigan said that instead of saying most of it like defeated and woe is me, she said most of it like she was so proud of herself that she managed to get most of it back. And the casting team was really endeared by that. Which, I think Riff Reagan does a very good job in the pilot, but I do understand that. Yeah. Willow is a little bit mopier in the original version, and the Willow that we got is just so, like, just so earnest and hopeful despite any of her circumstances. There's, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think that makes her such a good foil to Buffy.
Yes.
Because, like, Buffy is, like, this reluctant hero. Like, things, you know, she is being pulled into the situation she desperately does not want to be in. And to have a friend who is there with her with fucking bells on, I think is amazing.
Yeah. And there's so many lines just in this episode that on paper would read so tragic.
Yeah.
There's that moment where they're at the Bronze and Buffy's talking to Willow, and then she's like, "I'll be right back," and leaves. And then she goes, "Oh, you don't have to come back." And like, on paper, that could be so like Eeyore at the Bronze, but her just being like, "Oh, that's okay. I'm used to it. Don't worry."
Or when Buffy comes up to her at the lunch in like the lunch area, and she's like, "Oh, do you want me to move?"
Oh, she goes,
he's like, just as
she goes, "Hi, you're Willow." And she goes, "Why?"
Why? But it's just like so excited. She's also at the Bronze. She's eating raisins. She's reading a she's eating a box of raisins.
And she's in a fuzzy cardigan, too.
God, Willow Rosenberg, you're everything to me.
Here is actually the worst casting change about the unaired pilot to the actual pilot.
Okay.
Principal Flutie in the unaired pilot is played by Glee's own Stephen Tobolowsky, Sandy Ryerson.
Wow.
And I love Stephen Tobolowsky.
That would have been awesome.
I wish he was in this show. Oh my gosh. Oh well. Also, a fun thing about that on air pilot, this is the last thing I have to say about it, is when they go to the Bronze, the name of the band playing is Dingoes Ate My Baby, which is Oz's band in future seasons.
Yeah.
So they were sitting on that name for a while. Anyways, back to the show
proper. They were like, "I just found a really great band name. I can't wait to share it."
Seriously, trying to work it into every project until it's stuck.
Like, can it be Dingo Day, My Baby?
Please.
Not this time.
Please.
Ding it.
Next one. We'll get them next time.
Next one.
Okay. So the opening song of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is written and performed by the band Nerf Herder. Shout out. Shout out. The monster suits for Buffy the Vampire Slayer were created by John Vulick and his special effects company Optic Nerve. The makeup, the monster makeup, was done by Todd McIntosh. And the face, like the way those faces look, was inspired by Barnabas Collins in Dark Shadows. Shout out. You don't know Dark Shadows?
Yeah, I don't.
Do you remember? I only know Dark Shadows because of the Tim Burton movie. Where Johnny Depp's a vampire. I never saw it, but it's like the 70s and Johnny Depp's a vampire and came out in like 2012.
You know, I went through a big vampire phase. I could have seen it. Let me Google.
It's got like, The girl from Kick-Ass, Chloe Grace Moretz is in it as the daughter.
Yes. I have seen this movie. Yeah.
Yes. So that is based on an old soap opera in the 70s.
God, that movie is bad.
Yeah, I heard, which is why I never saw it. But the soap opera in the 70s, Crazy Crazy, started out literally as just like a regular soap opera about like a rich family. And then slowly they just got crazy with it where...
Oh my God.
A vampire who's like their great grandfather, which is Barnabas, comes and lives with them, and someone gets turned into a werewolf and they time travel. It got off the rails. But their vampire face is apparently modeled after the actor who played Barnabas in the original series. What up?
Okay.
The reason that they decided to have the vampires do a face change is because they were concerned that having a teen girl just be stabbing people on TV maybe would undercut the message and be a little odd.
Yeah.
They felt that if they had a face change, it would be clear, like, no, these are monsters. It's okay that we're killing
them.
Yeah. And to get into that monster makeup took an hour and 20 minutes.
Honestly, that's not too bad. From like SFX makeup stuff I hear about now, it's like 4 hours.
See,
minimum.
And I hear you, and I'll raise you this. The vamp makeup in this TV show, I love the show, is fugly. So why is it taking that
long?
Yeah,
it's fugly on purpose.
You do have a point. It's supposed to be a B movie. It's supposed to be kind of
tacky. It's fugly on purpose.
They look like pug dogs. I've never liked it.
What?
It's always been...
You're not supposed to like it. You don't have to be attracted to it. You still have to respect it.
Come on, vampires are sexy. Haven't you seen any vampire media? No,
I think that's also on purpose as well.
I think this is going to be one of the things that when I rewatch Buffy now, I will appreciate it a lot more. Because, like, you know, 17-year-old me watching this show, my brain wasn't fully formed and I couldn't fully comprehend this is probably part of the bit.
Yeah.
And they're...
I have never heard people say that.
Say what?
I mean, I've heard you say it.
That they're
like,
ugly?
Not that they're ugly. They're supposed to be ugly. Ugly is not the right
that
word.
That didn't get their motor like running it. Watching them in vamp face?
It doesn't give you a tingle?
Does it give you a stirring?
A stirring is so good.
That's the Giver chic.
Uh-huh.
Did your school go through that phase? Where when we all read The Giver?
Oh.
Did you have to read The Giver?
Of course.
And he has the wet dream and they call it a stirring.
And I do remember what you're saying. It did not take over my school.
Oh, all the 13-year-olds were talking about stirrings.
That's awesome.
So Buffy, massive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, massive hit less in like a ton of viewers, more massive hit in cultural impact.
Of course.
It is cited as one of the most influential TV shows of all time. It was largely snubbed at the Emmys while it was on air, but it was a critical darling to the point that people were so upset that it didn't get nominations that it deserved that after the show ended, the Emmys had a special like goodbye ceremony for Buffy.
Damn you, Emmys.
The success of Buffy led to TV shows like Teen Wolf, like Supernatural. It's partially what convinced the BBC to revive Doctor Who.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear.
Another show very important to us.
Love.
It has been cited as a short of inspiration, as a source, pardon me, of inspiration for some of the biggest names in television. I'll name them for you. Eric Kripke, who created Supernatural. Rob Thomas of Veronica Mars, a show you would love.
I know.
That is so Buffy-coded. Also, Christina Carpenter is in it. Amy Sherman-Palladino of Gilmore Girls and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And queen of television herself, Shonda Rhimes.
Oh my God. That's so awesome.
I have just some quotes about the impact of Buffy. Exactly two of them. Stephanie Zacharek in The Village Voice in 2015 said, quote, "If we really are in a golden age of television, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was a harbinger," unquote. And Robert Moore in Pop Matters in 2009 said, quote, "TV was not art before Buffy, but it was afterwards," unquote. Buffy popularized having long form stories in episodic television, having a storyline that lasts an entire season, that lasts multiple seasons, that lasts the entire show, having things that happen in one episode affect future episodes. And it is something that we are so used to now.
Yes.
That it feels not that special. But in 1997.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah.
And of course, Buffy had a huge impact in queer media.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy has the first depiction of a lesbian sex scene in broadcast TV history. It was also a pioneer. It also pioneered representation of queer women in media by showing a lesbian couple that was not over-sexualized, and instead the focus of the relationship was two independent women who are in a largely healthy relationship with each other over, like, isn't it hot how they kiss sometimes? Yeah. Now we're going to go on to episode proper, Welcome to the Hellmouth. This episode aired on March 10th, 1997. It was written by Joss Whedon. It was directed by Charles Martin Smith. I believe this was a one and done for Mr. Smith. I don't think he ever came back. The shooting location for Sunnydale High is Torrance High School in Torrance, California, which is the same high school that is used in 90210. Also, I maybe am making this up in my brain. I think I drove by it once.
Yeah. I know that Buffering holds their Buffy prom every, like, most every year there.
Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Also, with something that Buffy does, there's a lot of times when we go to the Bronze, they have real independent bands playing there who are playing their actual music. So I thought it'd be fun to shout out the bands every time that we have one on.
Who's playing at the Bronze?
So this episode, the band of the Bronze is Sprung Monkey, a band that was formed in 1991 in San Diego. Their music was featured in quite a few movies and TV shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Other movies and TV shows that you may have heard of that their music is featured in, Dude, Where's My Car, King of the Hill, and previously featured on our Patreon, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Love.
Ayo. Some other facts about this episode. I'm almost done. I'm so sorry.
What are you sorry about? I love this.
One of these facts is a spoiler, so I will share it next episode. I'll just, like, interject a fact into your segment, if that's okay. Because it is a spoiler.
Yeah.
The Master, when he rises from the pool of blood, was supposed to be covered in blood, and then was supposed to be covered in blood the rest of the episode, but it ended up being too hard to do, so they cut it.
Yeah, good for them.
The scenes of Buffy arguing with Giles in the library and Buffy meeting Angel were reshot 8 months after the rest of the episode to make Buffy less angry and more vulnerable in said scenes. WB, the network that the first five seasons of Buffy aired on, did not want them to use the word slut in the episode and try to make them cut it.
Sure. Oh.
Hey. The scene of Angel warning Buffy about the harvest was David Boreanaz's audition scene, which reading this, I'm like, no shit, it's the only scene he's in.
What else is he gonna audition with?
But the scene of Buffy entering the library and saying, so what's the sitch, was her audition scene. Shout out.
Okay, cool.
The scene with Giles in the Bronze was Anthony Stewart Head's audition scene. Hey! And the actors who play Luke the Vampire and to play Aura, the girl who has the dead body fall on her, later come back in future episodes as different characters.
Love.
And that's all she wrote. That's a wrap on our Slacks for the week.
Oh, yeah. It's time for the Slacks.
Oh, yeah. It's time for the Slacks. I do need to use the bathroom now, so maybe we take a break and then get into the episode.
Okay.
See you all
soon. Well, I have a recap. So before we get in.
Yes, that's what I meant. Hell yeah, hell yeah.
That's what you meant. Okay.
See you soon.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Okay, so I'm not going to do it as fast as I can.
Yeah,
I say fuck
well,
that.
The reason that we did that was because it was an homage to Glee, you know, because Ian Brennan talks so fast in the recaps.
So true, so true. I'm going to do it like 90s teen.
Hell yeah. And I support it.
Okay.
An homage to Buffy.
An homage to Buffy, my girl. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
It's kind of a long one just because there's a lot
to
cover.
We're establishing a world.
I think I don't mention the Master at all in this, so I hope you watched the episode. Here is what you missed on Buffy. It's Buffy's first day at her new school, Sunnydale High, and everyone is so excited to meet this mysterious new girl who carries around wooden stakes in her purse and burned down her previous school's gym. But in her defense, the gym was full of vampires. Buffy meets Xander, Jesse, Willow, and Cordelia. Cordelia tells her to go to the library to pick up her textbooks, where she meets the librarian, who seems to know more about Buffy than she anticipates. Turns out there's fully a dead guy stuck in a locker with two little holes in his neck, and all of his blood is gone. Yuck! Buffy returns to Giles, the librarian, to confront him. Buffy learns that Giles is her watcher, an appointed babysitter more like, and that Sunnydale has been having crazy stuff go down. Buffy leaves Giles and tells her that she is retired from vampire slaying. Uh-oh, Xander just heard that whole convo go down. Buffy goes to the local nightclub, The Bronze, to meet up with the gang. But before, she meets a mysterious yet predatory hot guy who gives her a big cross necklace. At The Bronze, Willow meets a boy who then takes her to go get ice cream. But turns out, he lied! He's a vamp! Buffy finds Xander and Giles, and they follow Willow to find her and Jesse in a crypt with two vamps. Buffy makes quick work of one of them, and then the other one, Darla, gets away, and then Freaky Luke shows up and then attacks. Will Buffy make it out of this? Will Buffy accept her calling as a slayer once more? Dun, 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 to be continued.
Thank you. That was a monologue. You had a point of view there.
I did. I felt like I go to Sunnydale High.
You did a goat sheet. You said goal, objective, what's the A? I don't remember. Tactic.
I don't know.
It's been years.
It's been years. Wow. Okay. Welcome to the Hellmouth.
Welcome to the Hellmouth.
For everybody, welcome to the Hellmouth.
Wow.
They don't really say that. Does the master say it's a Hellmouth?
I think.
Because Buffy doesn't know it's a Hellmouth yet.
But Giles says it to her towards the end, doesn't he? I don't know if he uses, I don't think he uses that phraseology.
Yeah, he's just like, something is freaky is going on here. And she's like, yeah, because I'm going to this fucking school. And she follows me around and life is so terrible for me.
Yeah. But he like specifically makes a point of this town is worse than most places.
I swear to God, I watched it twice this morning.
And you also, watch it twice a year. Personally.
No, seriously, I watched it personally. And then we watched it for our Patreon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why don't I have this whole episode memorized? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm dumb as rocks.
You're not dumb as rocks.
Just kidding.
But I literally have no idea if they say Hellmouth, but also who cares if they do or don't.
Who cares?
I want to talk about opening scene of this TV show, ignoring the 13-second elevator pitch at the beginning, which makes me roll my eyes.
It makes me say, hell yeah.
I like the elevator pitch for the subsequent episodes, where it's like, here's what the TV show's about. We're going to give it to you concisely so that you can follow along.
Only she can destroy the vampires.
Once in a generation, there's a chosen one. But in the first episode, all of that information gets revealed to us organically in a much more interesting way. And I think they're putting the cart before the horse. It's retroactively making the writing of the episode less impressive because we are already, we enter with that information. Whereas if we walked in blind, then stuff like the Darla reveal would be more exciting. Stuff like Buffy nonchalantly ripping the door, like the locked door open and ripping the wall.
Yes.
We would have those moments where it's like, oh, something's going on here. This is interesting. And instead I go, well, I already know. Once in a generation, there's a chosen one only she can protect.
Of course,
and this is her.
I've heard it.
I've heard the prophecy.
Yes.
So,
and also the show is called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, like, I know what I'm into.
I mean, that's fair. But disregarding that, the first scene of this episode, I think, is fantastic and is a shout out to what we're in for. I'm specifically talking about Darla and the dude that she kills, who I don't even know if he has a name.
I hope he doesn't.
How it is set up as the most cliche, we know exactly how this is going to play out, horror movie scene ever, only to have the subversion of, oh, the helpless girl not only is not helpless, she is the monster.
Yeah.
It tells you exactly, one, the tacky makeup, how like over the top it is showing you that this show is going to be campy and fun. And then also that it is going to subvert what you've come to expect about horror movies.
Yeah.
A great first scene.
And I also think it's pretty powerful to have Darla look kind of similar to Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes.
Because like, I mean, I wasn't watching. Obviously, I was one when the show came out, so I'm not sure that I can tell you accurately if I would have been able to pick Sarah Michelle Gellar out of crowd. But I do feel as though she won a fucking Emmy. What am I saying? But I do think it's powerful to have this girl who looks sort of similar to Sarah Michelle Gellar be a monster in this, where it's like you can't trust anyone. You were seeing this. You can't trust anyone.
You thought this was Buffy? That. I don't think so. This is Darla.
It's not. It's Darla.
Darla, of course. No, I so agree.
Of course.
I so agree.
I think it's really fun.
And that is something about this show. The high school is hell, going through puberty is like fighting a supernatural battle aspect.
Yes.
Is so fun and so exciting. And the crucial part of that aspect is anyone around you in your social group could be a monster. Mm-hmm. In the same way, like, Willow flirts with this guy at the Bronze, but she doesn't know he's a monster. In the same way that a poor defenseless teenage girl could flirt with a strange guy at a bar who's so nice to her and makes her feel so special and be unaware that he is a, in quotes, monster.
Yeah.
Exactly, who has bad intentions. Yeah. That whole sequence, I think, is so effective. I think it is very clearly illustrating the real life connotations of, like, this could lead into being a sexual assault without ever playing it too far. Like, it has one foot in both camps, but the one foot in the vampire camp is in it enough that you never feel super grossed out by it. But it's very clear the messaging that they're trying to get across with that.
You said that the other day, and I was like, wow, it's so true. Because I feel as though Buffy is so important to me, and I feel like I, like, call on the feelings that I feel when I watch Buffy in moments that are hard for me. And you said something that was so powerful where I said, like, I'm not out here fighting demons. And you said, but you are. Like, growing up is fighting demons. Like, your own hormones are demons. And I was like, oh my God, that really, like, this show that I've loved and cared about for so long, I had never thought about it in that way. So shout out to you. And that's so true. And I think that's so effective. And even if you're not necessarily thinking about maybe real life, what this means in the real world, you're still getting those feelings and you still can, like, draw on that, like the feelings that you feel while you watch it, even if you aren't putting the right words to it. So shout out to you. You are media literate as fuck and I love you.
Thanks, babe. Love you too. But I think that's what makes the show so compelling and so special, and why I am not big on supernatural television.
Sure.
Like, I don't watch a bunch of... I never watched Supernatural. I did not watch Charmed. I think the reason that Buffy is the one that broke through and really stuck with me through all these years is because Buffy... And to be fair, I haven't watched these other shows, so I can't actually speak to this about them. But Buffy is telling a human story. Buffy is telling a human story through a supernatural lens, but at its core, it is a human story.
Yeah.
It is a story about growing up. It is a story about adolescence. It is a story about not being able to trust the people around you, about your body going through changes, about having responsibilities put on you that you don't know how to handle and you feel like you weren't prepared for. It is feeling ostracized and wishing that you could be normal and just have a normal time like everybody else, but you're going through all this shit that no one else, you feel like no one else is understanding it.
Yeah.
And the central character, Buffy, is so compelling.
Yeah.
She's such a perfect character. One, like, the whole trope of you'd expect her to die first, but just this girl that's so, and also I'm now likely going to parrot stuff that you said to me about why you love Buffy so much.
Say it. As long as you give me credit.
I know that you've talked about that she wants more than anything in the world to just have a normal life, just be a normal girl, not have to worry about any of this shit. But at the end of the day, she is too noble and has too good of a heart. Mm-hmm. Like, she will throw a fit and throw her hands in the air and pout and whine about, why do I have to be the one to do this? But at the end of the day, she can't bring herself to not do it. She is going to help her friends. She is going to save the world.
Yeah. Even in that moment where she's talking to Giles and she's like, I'm done with that. I'm retired. She's like, well, if I like see a vampire, like I'll stake him. But like, that's just like, and she's still carrying a stake because she is called to this. She realizes that she's the only one who can do it. She, even when she, like everything in her is begging her not to do this, she knows she's called to it. I think one of the most powerful things in this episode is her talking to Giles and the Bronze and her being like, I'm done. I really can't do this. Everything about being the Slayer keeps me from people. I cannot connect with friends. I can't tell them who I really am. I can't connect with my mom. Like everything in my life is so fucked over by being the Slayer. And Giles being like, okay, cool, do what you're gonna do. And then realizing that her new friend Willow is in trouble, and she's like, of course she's gonna save her friend.
Yeah,
there's no question. Even though it will like fuck up her life, even though she will burn down the gym to save a friend and to like help humanity, she's going to do it.
And even in her everyday life, mm-hmm. I mean, it's obvious, but the way that she goes out of her way to befriend Willow when she sees yes. how Willow is picked on and a little bit ostracized, she's just a good, she's got a good heart. We love our girl.
She has a great heart, yeah.
We love our girl, we love our girl.
Something I love so much about Buffy, too, is she is just a girl.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be close to the shoes. She's obsessed with boys. That to me, like, it speaks to what is kind of maybe the core of it, like Joss said, like the power of, what did he say? Like female power or whatever.
I'll get the quote up for you. Joy of female power.
The joy of female yes. power, like everything about her makes her powerful. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't expect this girl to like kick ass, and then to watch her do it is so awesome. And then you're like, oh wait, that girl is just like me. I can kick ass.
Yeah. She's very Elle Woods in that.
Yes.
She doesn't have to be like, I'm not like other girls. I'm just like every other girl.
I'm just like every other girl.
And that's what makes me a badass.
Let's go, girls.
Yes.
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 And exactly. I mean, that is, it's like, there's just no right way to be a woman. There's no right way to be a feminine person. Like, it's either like, if you're too girly, you're blah, 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 blah. If you're not girly enough, you're da, 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 da. If you're like somewhere in between, you can't find your space. And it's like being exactly who you are is a right way to do it. And Buffy is like a hyper femme ass kicking motherfucker, and don't mess with her. And then we also meet so many other girls who are so different than Buffy who also kick ass. It just is so important to me as a human. I cannot tell you who I would be without Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I swear to God.
All right. What do you want to talk about? It's hard because usually we go plotline by plotline, but since this mm-hmm. is a pilot, there's not...
Everything kind of goes together.
Yeah, there's no B or C. It is the one plot, which I have to say, an excellently written and paced script.
100%.
Yeah, everything goes together very cleanly. I think the moment that you shouted out her trying to boost Willow's self-confidence, and then that is accidentally what puts Willow in danger, and then Willow being in danger is what gets Buffy to actually, you know, take up the Slayer mantle again. That is all very effective. I remember in a script writing class one time, our teacher said, in a script, you cut everything unless it furthers the story or it's incredibly funny. And I feel like that's this episode. Everything 100%. Is furthering the story or is a joke, which... Yeah. We should talk about some of the jokes. Buffy became very famous. Frankly, everyone on the internet talks about millennial media, specifically like the Marvel media movies, and how it's like everyone is quipping all the time, and enough with the quips. And who do we have to blame for that? Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, ultimately, it is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It popularized, it became known as Buffy Speak.
Buffy speak,
which was talking in this kind of
like the overly thingy.
Yeah, like this very quirky, overly wordy, way too many nouns, a lot of adjectives, everything just like a bit off, a bit odd. It popularized this kind of talking that is so linked with millennials. I wrote down a bunch of examples as I was watching, and
oh hell yeah,
frankly, I find it charming. As a young millennial, I find it charming and I like it. And especially like Buffy is kind of the first to do it. Yeah. We have stuff like, oh my gosh, the first scene with Willow and Xander when we're first introduced to them is so Buffy speak.
Yeah.
When he runs into Willow and then says, Willow, so very much the person I wanted to see. So very much. Yeah. Not just so very much.
So very much the person I wanted to see.
And then yeah. I had some trouble with the math. Which part? The math.
The math part. Yeah.
And then Willow saying, it's in the library where the books live. Like that's for better or for worse.
Where the books live.
Don't you have an elsewhere to be? I do love that one. That
Cordelia Don't you have an elsewhere to be? Jesus.
That's good. Oh, that's my God. A good
I gotta
one.
Lock that in. I gotta lock that in. That's so good.
Very, very good. And then also just some, these aren't necessarily Buffy speak, but some jokes in this episode that I love. One, favorite joke of the episode. The two girls talking in the locker room about Buffy.
God, and I love that part.
The one goes, what kind of name is Buffy? And then someone passes her and goes, hey, Aphrodisia.
The way they speak is so, such a time capsule to what I imagine the 90s were like. I'm just so obsessed. They are silly as hell.
SMG says SMG. That when she auditioned, because she was from New York, and when she auditioned for Buffy, she like did not understand. She had to go in the audition room and ask, what does sitch mean? She was like, that's just not how we talked in New York.
Yeah.
But
oh my God, that's so funny.
In an interview, Joss Whedon said the way that the characters on Buffy talked were one, them kind of satirizing Valley Girl speak, but also yes, he was like, this is just how me and the writers talked to each other in real life. And we just What's put it onto the page. What's a sitch?
You thought that was Kim Possible, Kim Possible a ridge?
Uh-uh. Kim Possible, unafraid Buffy to Summers. Reference or not reference.
Of course.
Kim Possible's a big Scooby. She loves Buffy.
A California girl herself.
Is she?
I think.
I thought she was like Colorado for some reason.
Huh?
Where's Kim Possible from?
You can't help but Google stuff.
I have questions. I'm an inquisitive guy. Oh, she's famously from Middleton, USA, of course. We all know where that is. Yeah, she's from a made-up city that has no specific location. But someone on Reddit said, is Middleton a Denver, Colorado suburb? So I'm not alone in this.
I guess you were right.
They famously are in the Southwest US because there is an episode that shows like what the big bad is targeting, and it's a map of the Southwest. Hey.
She could be from AZ, just like you.
She could be from AZ, but I feel like it's Colorado for some reason.
Colorado is in Southwest.
Yes, it is.
Colorado?
Yes. It's part of the Four Corners. The Four Corners are Southwest, babe.
But I are you feel a like West, Northern Utah is in Southwest.
You're a West purist?
No. I'm just thinking about the. No, I'm just thinking about geography.
New Mexico and Colorado are the Southwest.
Do you think Utah is Southwest?
Yes.
I think Northern Utah is not Southwest. I think once you get to like middle Utah, that's Southwest. I think it's a region, especially in terms of the desert, dog.
Well, anyways, this comment is the map that showed Colorado is on the map, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, I hear you. We don't need to get into semantics of Southwest.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört, der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Back to Buffy.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Xander? Do you want to talk about Willow? You want to talk about Cordelia?
Yeah.
You want to talk about Jesse?
Yeah, let's talk about the gang. Let's talk about the gang. I love meeting the gang. I love the moment where Buffy is like on the prowl looking for the guy who took Willow, and she like tries to stake Cordelia, and then Cordelia goes, what's your childhood trauma? Cordelia chased her everything to me. I think this gang is such a fun group. I think, like, you know we don't know much about Xander, but we get that he's kind of Would you say he's cool? I wouldn't say
No. Yeah. He's a tryhard.
No, not at all. He's a tryhard. Exactly. He's a big tryhard. Obviously, Willa Rosenberg, we've talked about her at length. The optimism she has in all this sadness is so apparent. And now that you say that, like, that's the overwhelming feeling that I'm feeling, to see that Xander and Willow, like, have, like, a past together. I just, this whole crew, I love. I'm not the biggest Xander fan, as we'll come to learn, but I like him for here for now.
See.
I think that's fine.
And maybe I'll change my mind.
And maybe I'll change my mind.
Maybe we'll swap. Maybe we'll swap. But I remember really liking Xander.
Yeah, there and are moments that I really like Xander.
Because Xander is famously a self-insert. Not even like, this isn't us theorizing. Joss has said that Xander is a self-insert. So it is tricky to be like the nicest guy in the world who you have so much empathy for and is so funny but just can't get girls to like him. Is a little eye-rolly, especially knowing the things that we know. But just looking at the piece of media placed in front of me, and maybe I will change my mind, there's a lot about Xander that I do enjoy.
Yeah. You know, as we'll come to learn more about, obviously, Buffy being the Slayer and where these people all fit in Buffy's friend group and, like, as her support system. Yes. Obviously, knowing what I know, I do think Xander plays a crucial role in that, and I think that that's good. And the thing that I like, and a thing that I like, not to spoil any spoilers. Yeah, but.
And Xander is like Chandler Bing light. It's very
totally.
They're really trying to do the Chandler Bing thing, but I think he and Willow compliment Buffy so much. I don't know. This is a girl who's like going through hell every day, and as you already mentioned, Willow views everything with rose-colored glasses. And then Xander filters everything through humor. He just, like, his role is he's going to bring levity. He is going to get the tension out of the situation, which I think are good foils to each other, Willow to Xander.
Yeah.
And I think are also good foils to Buffy and help
I agree.
Keep the show funny and lighthearted and fun.
I agree.
And then Cordelia, you know I love an HBIC. I love a queen bee. I love a mean girl.
You're upset.
She fully... is a teacher. She is. That's an adult woman walking around this high school.
Oh my God. Totally.
Everyone else is like passable. Nicholas Brendan is like a little man looking, but Krista Carpenter is fully 27 years old.
Shout out. It's not too late.
I'm not kidding. When I turned 27, I was like, high school's it's over.
You're gonna book a pilot.
No, I was the opposite. I was like,
no, you were thinking it was over.
Because it was also like Cory Monteith was like 26 or 27 when Glee started. Yes. And I was like, this is the oldest they ever let it be. It's officially over. I have to make peace with it. I can't be Cordelia Chase anymore. It's over for me. Cordelia in this episode really is just there to be mean. And hear me out. I'm all for it.
Oh, me too.
I love it.
I love a mean girl.
And what are your thoughts on Giles?
I love Giles. I think especially this strung out British man who already is at his wit's end, like trying to be a librarian, like having to wrangle this 15-year-old little diva is so damn funny. I think that's the buddy cop comedy of the century to me is... Even like the words, like her saying what's the sitch to this man is insane and so damn funny.
It's like a middle-aged British scholar.
Seriously, like he ran the British Museum or whatever. Like, I think that is so funny. I also think that I'm going to say that we're going to use these words a bunch. They're such great foils to each other. These characters are just so well balanced. They're just so well balanced. And I think he is, obviously, in this episode, he's just very, like, this is the way that it's supposed to go. And Buffy is just not going to work like that. And he has to learn to adapt to that. And I just think he's got a journey to go on with this girl and to, like, understand her. And I think it's starting in a really fun and compelling place. And we know that danger is afoot, and we know that he feels that. And we feel the frustration that he feels when this girl is telling him that she is denying her destiny and how that's not going to work. Like, we are in this world that has evil, whether she wants to face it or not. And he, I also feel his frustration in that he doesn't have the power of the Slayer to accomplish this. Like, if he could, he would. So I feel all that coming from Giles. And I just, this cast is so well balanced, man. I love it. Yeah,
the characterizations are very strong. They really balance each other out well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got Jesse, who's a horny teenager.
Yeah.
Who's just hitting on everyone.
Doesn't say much.
Hey, shout out, Jesse. What up?
Shout out, Jesse. I'm excited to see what you're up to.
A good foil to everyone else not being horny enough. He's horny enough for all of them.
I know. You know what? I'm looking for Xander to be a little more horny. Thanks, Jesse. I'm glad you're here
to pull it off for us.
And then we also meet Mysterious Stranger.
Oh, that's right.
We don't even know his name. And I know you're a big Angel hater.
And maybe my opinion will change. I just, like, as a teenager, I just was never into the, like, intensity stuff. So I liked the sillier elements of Buffy. Mm-hmm. That's the same, like, the Master as a kid. I was like, this guy again? Yeah. Are we kidding?
Yeah.
So, like, Angel's just never been it for me. There's not much to talk about in this episode because it's literally one scene. And the scene is interesting.
He's such a creepo.
Like, who is this dude? How does he know all this? He doesn't know Giles, so what's the deal? And I think David Boreanaz is a good actor. Shout out to him.
He is.
He looks very hot when he walks his dog, apparently.
Sexy.
He's good looking. He is good looking.
Yeah. I think, and we'll see what's up, but I just think there are so many things that exist in media of this type that would not exist without David Boreanaz's Angel. And I love that. I love him for that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Hey. It's just, there's not a lot. There's a million things I want to say that we can't say because it's the first episode.
Oh, we can't say.
So focusing on just this episode.
We're pre-saying.
This is called foreshadowing. It's a literary device. Focusing on just this episode, I think
Chekhov's Angel, if you will.
I think this episode does a really good job of setting up the world of the show and the tone of what this show is going to be. The way that the characters react to death is very informative to us as an audience of how seriously we should be taking these deaths.
Yes.
The classroom scene starts off with a close-up shot of the teacher writing death on the board. And then she turns around and goes, so it was really fun. The really fun part about the Black Plague, the show is letting us know, hey, so we are like a send-up of old horror movies. The body count is going to be high and we need you to be okay with that.
Should we keep score?
That's actually a great idea.
That is a great idea.
So right now we got Mr. Man. I don't mean to misgender.
Mr.
That was with Darla. He's dead.
Darla. Mr. Man,
I think it's just Mr. Man.
And second vamp that
second
tries
the
to.
The vamps count. The they don't have souls. No,
yes,
I know.
Yes, they do.
And what was his name? Like Thomas or something? And she was like, Thomas
the one
was young.
Just hit on Willow.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's Luke. Is that not Luke?
No, that's not Luke.
What the hell?
Luke is the freaky. He's a big guy.
I literally.
And then it's the one who, he looks like.
Yes.
What does Buffy say?
He's the master's right hand man. He's the master's right hand man.
Yeah, Luke.
I literally thought he said Mook, and I was like, White Lotus.
White Lotus, shout out. No.
Okay, so Thomas is the guy that hits on Willow, and he dies. So we got two in this episode.
Yes.
Anyways.
We got two.
It's very clearly letting us know body count's going to be high. Mm-hmm. You need to not, like, that's the world we're in, and don't ask questions. And I think of that's course. Really important because so much insane shit happens in this show that the characters just turn a blind eye to, and the show would frankly be so much less fun if the characters cared about all of it.
Yeah.
It is so much more fun to be like, monsters abound, people are dying left and right, supernatural stuff happens all the time, and yet life goes on and we're still going to go to school the next day.
You have to.
What else are you going to do?
I'm taking the written tomorrow.
Exactly. I'm taking the written tomorrow. Also, just a shout out because this scene made me laugh. When she's in the office of Principal Flutie, sadly not played by Stephen Tobolowsky, and he's like, we don't care about your past here, and rips up her record, and then sees on one of the shreds that she burned down her gym and starts taping it back together.
It's really good. It's really, really, really good.
Very good. Very good.
Oh my God.
Dang. Do we have any other big thoughts about this pilot?
I love to see Buffy interact with the vampires for the first time, because we see that even though she is so reluctant the entire time, she doesn't want to do it. She gets in there. She is confident and she is ready to fuck them up. Like, I love that.
Oh yeah.
Like she not only knows she's going to kick all their asses, she knows, and she's going to like also bully them before. I think that is, it shows exactly what Buffy has going on. The, you know, I just think it is so awesome. And one of my favorite things about Buffy is her little like, almost like villain speeches before she kicks ass. Like, it is so funny.
I know her really before Thomas dies. She's like, and I'm also going to tear apart your outfit and let you know why.
Yeah, it's she's ugly. Like,
you look like DeBarge.
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 Yes. You look like DeBarge.
Feel the rhythm of the night, bitch. And then she stabs him.
She goes, you look ridiculous. I love that. And I also love, too, when Giles and Buffy are talking, and that's how she knows that he's a vampire, is that his outfit is so outdated. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that Giles would pick up on. That's not something that
and she knows that
normal people...
Exactly. Elle Woods.
Uh-huh. So Elle Woods, where she would just know that. And that's something special about her. That is a superpower of hers. And I think that's powerful and awesome.
Hell yeah.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
I'm going to raise you a question, which is,
okay.
I have two questions. One of them is Mr. Man Luke.
Yes.
He reads a prophecy where he's like, humans are a plague of boils on the earth, and we're going to bring back the old ones, and mm-hmm. we will live on the surface and the humans will be gone, which is confusing Amen. To me because was he not a human? Before that's what
I think he was.
Yes,
that's the thing, is
because that's what's weird to me is if he was like, you know,
oh, he's like a regular
demon
guy.
Then yes. I'd be like yeah, but I'm kind of saying that's you, dude. You're talking about yourself.
Yeah,
you were one of them,
a self-hating human.
He's got internalized Human phobia. Exactly. Internalized human phobia.
And that's what I think it is. I think the master has been like going on and on and on and on and on that he is like distance himself yeah. from his humanness.
Yes, exactly.
That he like can't even relate anymore.
Yeah.
But it's like, homie, that was you 10 years ago.
Seriously.
I can tell.
I think a little longer than 10.
You look ridiculous.
Maybe 100. Speaking of though, my big question is Ms. Diva Queen Darla. How the fuck does she not know what a slayer is? So here's the deal.
That took me aback in this episode.
Not to give a spoiler, but this is not really a spoiler. Darla is like 500 years old minimum.
Yeah.
How does she not know what a slayer is? She's talking, Luke comes, and she's like, I don't understand it. How is she so strong? If I had been alive for 500 years and
a vampire.
And in every generation, a chosen one was called and was killing my friends. The second that a girl kicked my ass, I'd be like, so that's the Slayer.
Exactly.
There she is.
The Slayer would keep me up at night.
Seriously. I'd have nightmares. I'd be in my coffin.
I know.
Turning, shaking and turning.
Like, oh, I hope that's not the Slayer. It's like, what's her name?
I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? It's
the
like,
killer.
Ooh.
The killer.
Oh, Wendy Williams. Ah! I, I would be like, I have been I have been aware of the Slayer since birth.
You have to be on the lookout for the killer. You have to be on the lookout for the Slayer. No, that's the thing. It doesn't make any sense. And I think it's specifically
No, I think it's stupid as hell. She would know. She would know.
She'd be like, oh, not the Slayer. And especially,
she's working for the Master. The Master exactly. certainly does know.
And why is he gatekeeping? She is a part of their prophecy, Heller.
Yeah. He's gatekeeping.
Maybe that is.
But that's the thing is Maybe also, that is it. She's been alive for 500 years. She has not been
Read
in.
A fucking
she's
book.
Not for real. Like, girl, take a look. Open your eyes. No, look at the honestly, world around you.
There are people I meet and I'll say like, did you hear about this? And they go, what the hell is this? And I'm like, you need to awake the fuck
Seriously,
up, Darla.
You haven't heard of a vampire slayer? You're a danger to society.
No, seriously, you need to wait. You're allowed to vote in the vampire council.
Your vote,
I'm out.
Your uninformed ass vote counts for as much as the master's. I don't you're think so.
Me, you're telling me you just listen to the master ramble on all day in Freaky Luke?
You just listen to the Shut master's up. Podcast and that's where
Read
you're getting your
book,
vampire
Darla.
Council information?
Oh my God, seriously.
Do your own research.
Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
Propaganda. I'll tell you what. And he doesn't want you to know about the Slayer. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, and the podcast is giving anti-human rhetoric, and that's why Luke is internalized humanophobia.
Exactly. He forgets he's distancing exactly, himself yeah. from his humanness.
He's like, oh, he listened to like a 4-hour diatribe on that podcast, and he was like, I can't let anyone know. I have to shove this part deep down inside of me. He went to human conversion therapy. Poor guy.
Oh, poor. Honestly, I do.
I feel bad for Luke. That's the thing. And sometimes you look at people and it doesn't mean you condone what they're doing, but you do empathize with them. You do see their struggle.
Oh, you can have empathy.
Exactly.
You can have empathy for Freaky Luke.
Exactly. And I have empathy for Freaky Luke.
Darla,
I don't. That bitch is misinformed. intentionally ignorant.
She's intentionally. Oh my God. And Darla, you look ridiculous.
Do we have any more thoughts about Welcome to the Hellmouth?
I love it. It's one of the best pilots ever.
That's so we mentioned on our last the episode where we announced that we were doing Buffy. That we were like, season one is like not the best season.
Yeah.
And I certainly think I will like future seasons more. But watching this pilot, I was like, this is so much stronger than I remembered it being.
Yeah. I'm excited to feel that way. I feel like one of my favorite things that happened when we rewatched Glee, and I keep fucking saying this, so real ones remember, but the humble, like, I came in feeling like I was going to hate it more. And I actually just loved it. You know, there were parts, of course, that I didn't enjoy or like, you know, I enjoyed less. But I'm excited to feel that. I'm excited to feel humbled by my teenage opinions, my college opinions on this show. Granted, I mean, I'm personally rewatching Buffy right now. And there are episodes that I previously was like, tomato, that I'm like, actually, I can see what they're trying to do here. And I'm kind of into it. So
the horny
I'm excited.
House?
I won't say.
That's the one that I always think of. I'm tossing
well,
and trying to think about the horny house. Oh, the
I'm
horny house.
I'm not thinking about the horny house.
Seriously. Oh. Okay. No, I agree. There's something very gratifying. Is that the word I want to use? Who knows? About watching something that was so important to you as a kid and realizing that not only is it like as good as you remembered, but in some ways better than you realized. Because often it's the opposite.
Yeah.
So often you're like, this is actually ass and I'm embarrassed that I loved this so much.
Seriously. Yeah. Like I feel that way about like Glee's humor. Like I just like when I was a teenager, I didn't get it. And now that I'm an adult, I get it. And I'm like, actually slay. This is awesome. Slay.
Slay. Someone should name a podcast that.
I hope someone does.
All right. Well, now we got a little segment here at the end of our episode that we haven't done in a while. Goodness sakes. Called Best Part, Worst Part, where we share our best part of the episode and our worst part of the episode. Mm-hmm. Lena, what's your best part?
What if we switch it?
Worst part, best part?
Worst part, best part.
What's your worst part?
I don't have one. No, genuinely. Yeah, I don't know that I have one. I think this pilot is one of the best pilots I've ever seen. I think it's a near perfect episode of television. I mean, I get what you're saying about the little like snippet before with the creepy announcer guy. I think that kind of gives away what the show is trying to tell you anyway. And it kind of reads to me, the when I'm thinking about it, like maybe like production is trying to like, not production, this is not reality TV, but like the network is trying to like give you a little taste of what's going on before it happens, which I think gives away some fun reveals. So I get what you're saying about that. What I call my best, my worst part, maybe because I really can't think of one.
Yeah. And hell yeah.
So maybe that. What do you think?
I love all these actors. I love all these characters. Mm-hmm. These actors, they're all at the beginning of their career, except for, you know, like Anthony Stewart Head.
Yeah.
Occasionally, there is a line of dialogue that I'm a little bit like, about. And then I think if I imagine a more experienced actor saying this, I do understand why this line is funny.
Yeah.
And that is, yeah. It's not, and that's the thing. I'm really having to stretch here because I think this is a really good episode of television.
Yeah.
I do think occasionally some of the quips are a little awkward. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is just the delivery is sometimes weird to me.
Yeah.
Hey.
They're hiring people off the street walking their damn dog.
Yeah. But that, because Angel was quipping left and right in this scene. I said, okay, we're not giving a tight five here. Clown.
Get out of here.
Get off the stage. We got to relay some information.
Seriously, who the hell are you?
Come on. All right. See, he's trying to get his comedy podcast. Also, this is the worst part with the whole show. This show is so...
What, the makeup?
No, this show is so damn dark, and I get it.
Oh,
and I think
my
it works.
So dark.
But it's not a TV show to watch in the afternoon.
Oh,
and
girl,
this has bothered me since I was a teenager.
I also, this is so crazy to say, I inherited my late father's television, and it is huge. It's the biggest TV I've ever seen in my life. It's behind me.
I was going to say, is it the one behind you? Hey.
Girl, it's big. It's like, it's. I can't even tell you how big it is. It's huge, but it is not. These early seasons of Buffy, they're blurry as fuck.
Yes.
I can't see.
It's dark. It's dark. But like, that's so nitpicky. What's your best part?
Okay. Other than literally all of it, I think the moment of, and it's so interesting to hear that it was reshot, the moment with Buffy going to Giles in the library and opening up to him that this thing about her keeps ruining her life. She can't make friends. She can't have a relationship with her mom. She can't go to a new school. She can't do anything. She can't walk down the fucking street without this thing that she didn't choose, like, you know, becoming the biggest part of her, you know? And I just think her vulnerability is so beautiful there. And then like Giles hearing her in this new, like, obviously Giles is like a watcher. He understands vampires, but he's maybe not as like he's not experienced with what's going on. He's never like watched a slayer before. And like him hearing from her is just, I think it's really powerful. I also think it's such a fun way to tell this story. Like, we could show Buffy awakening and becoming a slayer, but a jaded Buffy, like Buffy doesn't want to do it anymore, I think is so awesome. Like, and I know what they're doing. They're like, you know, it's a sequel to something that was already made, but not really made. I think it's just really a fun way to tell this story. And I love it.
Because I've only seen the movie once, as a fan, is it Kirstie Alley's origin story in the movie?
I think so. Kirstie Alley, stop. Stop. Are you messing with me?
I was messing with you. But that was a genuine question.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's so much media, and I think it's smart because, you know, we get the information along with the lead character, but so much media is person just like us introduced into magical world.
Yes.
But having it be person jaded from magical world and wanting to quit, I so agree, is really compelling. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to start it there.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. So that part, and also that whole thing. What's your best part?
Girl, I have like abstract things that I'm like, okay. Is that a part? Or is that just like what I like about this show?
What are you thinking?
I'm like, I like the character of Buffy, but is that specific to this episode? No. So I'm thinking I should think of like a moment in the episode that showcases what I like about Buffy. I forgot that we do this bit and I wasn't really thinking of it when I watched the episode. I like Anthony Stewart Head's audition scene, Giles and Buffy in the bronze. I like how it showcases Buffy wants more than anything to be just like all the other kids and enjoy her night at the club, but yeah. Ultimately she can't not help people.
Yeah.
There's like a specific line that I would have written down if I had thought to, that I don't remember what it is, but she expresses like, I just want to have a night out. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately the night out ends in her killing poor DeBarge. Yeah. I think that scene is very concise and very nicely done.
I agree.
Best joke? What kind of name is Buffy? Hey, Aphrodisia.
Yeah, that's really good.
That joke rules. Well, that's Welcome to the Hellmouth.
Wow.
Series wrap.
Pile it down.
Welcome to the Hellmouth. 130-something to go. I don't know how many episodes are in this show.
Two kills down as well.
Two kills down.
Two kills,
I'll have
one
to start
up.
A document.
Yeah, yeah. It would be fun.
Two kills, one up. I've seen that video before. So, if you have...
for real?
No. And okay, I don't good. Want to.
I've heard someone...
And I don't want
someone
to.
Has explained it to me, but I never have.
Oh, yeah. No, I know it happens, and that's why I don't want to watch it. Ugh. It's like Human Centipede. I've read the synopsis of all three movies. I'm not going to watch them.
All three?
Hell yeah. Oh, the third one's crazy.
I can't wait to hear about it.
The second one, honestly, the second one is kind of fun. It's meta. It's in the second one, it's a guy who really loves the movie Human Centipede, and he kidnaps the actors from the movie Human Centipede and makes them into a human centipede.
Ew. See, that's the thing is, that's I love horror. I genuinely do. And I even like the Saw movies. I think those are fun. You can't get me to watch those movies.
If someone's eating poop, I'm out.
Oh, I'm out. I say, what the hell is this about?
There's so many things in the world to be eating.
I know. At least Saw has like puzzles.
At least he's creative.
At least it's like a freaky Jeff Probst.
What? Oh, I gotcha.
Like, you know, there's challenges and like puzzles to do.
I'm following. So if you have thoughts about this episode or about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you're going to email us. Listen carefully for our email. It's going to be unexpected for any new listeners. We set up our email with our original podcast, and we don't want to change email addresses. All of our accounts are linked to it. So our email is recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we will always
be Recovering Gleek. Yeah.
We'll always be Gleeks.
Recovering Gleek presents Slay, a Buffy podcast, a queer Buffy podcast, and don't you forget it.
You can find us on Instagram at rgpresents_pod. Is that correct? Or is it podcast?
Yeah. Podcast. It's podcast.
It's podcast. At rgpresents_podcast. You can join our Patreon if you want. Patreon.com/recoveringgleek. We have a bunch of backlog of episodes. We got all kinds of movies. We got all the High School Musical movies. We got all the Pitch Perfect movies. We got 10 Things I Hate About You. We've got
Hunger Games and Catching Fire.
True. We've got another episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We got a lot of stuff on there that you can check out. Hey, hey, hey.
And, hours of fun.
Our TikTok may be changed. I don't know. But we were and maybe still are at recoveringgleek_podcast. I actually don't know if you can change a TikTok handle. I haven't even looked into it. So we're going to look into that.
We're recording this in the past. So.
Yeah. So if it's not that, it will be changed to @RGPresents probably. Mm-hmm. Shout out. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Tune in next week when we're talking about The Harvest. That's what that episode's called. Hey, hey. And love y'all.
Love y'all.
Now, we're going to do a shout out to our patrons.
To our patrons. We're going to do it.
In the future. Yeah.
In the future, in the past. So in the, you know what I mean?
In the future of us recording, we're in past, the past, past of it being released.
But the next one's the past. And then you're listening to this in the future. So, yes. Do you know what I'm saying?
So where you are now is the present.
Yeah.
The past is where we recorded this episode.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between.
Days of future past.
Days of future past is where we're going to be recording a shout out to our patrons. Mm-hmm. Great film. So that's going in here.
I'm going to do something a little special and very weird for the shout out today. I'm just tired of this whole, like, we just read the names thing. And I was really in my creative era composing the music for the jingles. So I threw it together a little backtrack, and I'm just going to make up a melody as we go, and it's going to be thrilling. Here we go. Here are best friends of the podcast. A big thank you to, in the words of Beyonce, bring the beat in. I'm going to give you my best Bruce Springsteen.
Wish me had a Jack and a Karis, Elizabeth depressed, Bubbles eating Donald 5, Nikki Cowboy had Emoji, Brianna, JP, Tanya, Catherine, Shannon, Rachel, Haley, Drew, Christine, Kayleen, Blake, Rachel, Allison, Emily, Megan, Audrey, Megan, Alexandra, Kylie, Dustin, Azza, Jaden, Paul, Vicky, Keely, Jasmine, Sophia, Wild, Anna, Kusha, Lane, Diagonal, Toast, Mary Kay, Asparagus, Squid, 103, Reagan, Pee Pee, Poo Poo, Joseph, Lo, Madeline, Alani, Elise, Blanton, Alice, Nadia, Faye, Undercrow, Caitlin, Abby, Christian, Storiani, Mallory, Amanda, Rebecca, Jay, Kay, Ari, Riley, Marissa, Taylor, Colin, Frankie, Margaret, Despina, Emily, Han, Phoebe, Aria, Ava, Haley, Emily, Michelle, Jacqueline, Lazare, Emily, Sam, Aubrey, Steph, Marie, Baby Cat, Charlie, Kelsey, Thomas, Chucho, Brittany, Kenzie, Michael, Katie, Elizabeth, Freddie, Allison. Thank you for being best friends of the podcast.
Oh my gosh, I timed that perfectly. Wow. Thank you. Back to the show.
Thank you, wow, patrons. So love great. You. Wow.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being here. Thanks, Gleeks, for giving Buffy a shot. If you are hell giving yeah. Buffy a shot, I hope you enjoy it. We love it very much, and we think you will like it. So here is a kiss on your forehead if you want it. Ooh. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Follow us at recoveringgleek_podcast. Email us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Rate and review us and tell your friends, please.
Notice the joke I forgot to mention?
Mm.
When Cordelia is talking about her mom's illness and says, it has to be chronic fatigue or something. I mean, nobody cool has Epstein-Barr anymore.
I don't know what that means.
I think Epstein-Barr is a form of herpes. Epstein-Barr virus is one of the 9 known human herpes virus types in the herpes family.
Nice.
Shout out.
That's cool.
Come on, Mrs. Chase.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.